Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracles of God. Hope everybody's doing awesome today on this fabulous Resurrection Week, celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I call this one, The Command Was Issued. And this is from Daniel 9:23. And so I want to read that scripture for you. At the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. And so we know that Daniel got to see so many things about the future, so many things about his nation, because he decided he was going to humble himself and seek the face of God on behalf of his nation, and repent and stand in the gap for his nation, Israel. And so we can do that for our nations also, so that our lands can be healed when we turn from our wicked ways, when we humble ourselves and pray like Daniel did. And so I, of course, want to thank IHOP Kansas for letting me use their music. May the Lord bless them and keep them, and make his face to shine upon them and give them peace. And I declare that they will have above and beyond all that they could ask or even think or even imagine to fulfill their part of his story. I ask in Jesus' name, and I am so thankful for IHOP Kansas. I'm so thankful for Mike Bickle's teachings and all the teachers at IHOP that you can listen to online, and listen to the beautiful intercession that goes on 24/7 and all the beautiful worshipers. I'm just so grateful for IHOP. And so, of course, I want to declare Numbers 10:9. When you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpet, with the trumpets, plural, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from every single one of your enemies. So, of course, I'm going to play the recording of the shofar. Blessed to know the Lord. And my prayer today is, of course, from one of my favorite chapters, Ephesians 1:17-23. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened so that we will know what the hope of his calling is, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. All things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And of course, when we're seated in heavenly places, because we are, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that's his finished work. Everything is under our feet, and that's where we need to be when we are doing intercession. It has to be from the heavenly places, from the third heaven, so that when we pray, everything comes from the third heaven under our feet. Hallelujah. And so I want to talk a little bit about Daniel, because Daniel began to fast and pray and mourn and seek understanding. And it was literally 3 weeks of Daniel inquiring of the Lord. And then Michael comes to him and he says this in Daniel 10:12. He says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words." Now, that right there is amazing in intercession all in itself, because it tells us that from the minute we set our heart to understand and we humble ourselves before the Lord, he hears our words and he comes for them. You know, he sees our hearts. He knows that we want to seek his faith and his understanding. And so what did he do? He fasted and he prayed and he mourned over his nation. He repented on behalf of his nation. And we can also do the same thing for our nations. And I'm going to go into Daniel 9:1. I'm going to start there. "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed the books, the number of the years which was revealed, as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So he was looking at the book of Jeremiah, which showed him about things to come for the revelation of his nation. And he saw about the Messiah and how he would come in the time frame. And he says, "So I gave my attention to the Lord to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, 'Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land.'" You know, can we say that about our nations? Because I believe we can. If we look around, we can see the state that our nations are in because of the same exact things that we did not listen. We sinned. We've committed iniquity. We've acted wickedly. We've rebelled, turning aside from the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. And we have not listened to the prophets. We have not listened to them, to what the warnings that are given about our nations. And I know there are prophets who are speaking to the kings and the princes and the fathers and the people of the land. Do they listen? Have they listened? Well, the thing is that if we do what Daniel did, and we come and we say, "Lord, we come as your prophets, your priests, and your kings. And we are a kingdom of priests, Lord. We are coming as your priests to repent on behalf of our nation, O God," and do the same thing that Daniel did. And here he goes on in Daniel 9:7, "Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame as it is this day to the men of Judah." And we're going to say, put your own nation in there, to the men of America, to the men of whichever your nation is, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, Daniel repented for. And we can say, "O Lord," to the inhabitants of the United States or whatever nation that you're in, those who are nearby and those who are far away in all the countries to which you have driven them because of their unfaithful deeds, which they have committed against you. And this is Daniel in Daniel 9:7. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. That's Daniel 9:9. Nor again, I'm saying this same thing in Daniel 9:10, nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, which he said before through his servants, the prophets. Indeed, Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. And you know, there's people, they don't realize that Jesus came to fulfill the law. He did not come to abolish it, but he came that through the Holy Spirit, we personally would fulfill the law, because he put a new heart, a new mind in us, a new spirit. At the same token, the land is mourning. The lands are mourning because the Lord does have a controversy against the inhabitants of the land, because we have sinned against him. And I can take a look around my nation and I can see things being poured out because of the sins and the iniquities of the nation. So we're going to go into Daniel 9:12. Thus he has confirmed his words which he had spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled us, to bring on us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been anything like what was done to Jerusalem. And we can say that too in our lands, because it does matter if the leader is a godly leader or if their leader is not a godly leader. You can look in the kings. It mattered to the Lord who was in power. It mattered to him if it was a godly king. And he talks about a few of the kings that were godly kings, such as Hezekiah, such as Josiah. And I love even hearing about Josiah, that young boy at 18 years old, turned his nation upside right, turned his nation towards God and rid his land of all the idols there and restored the covenant between the nation of Israel and the Lord. So in Daniel 9:14, it says, therefore the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us, for the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all his deeds which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. Oh, can you relate to that in your land? And now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself, as it is to this day, we have sinned and we have been wicked. Daniel 9:15. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger, your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins and iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. You know, and I'm thinking about the man who wrote the Harbingers and how everyone laughed at him, but I'm sorry, it is coming to pass in our nation. And people can laugh all they want, but the signs are all around, in the weather, in our financial system, in everything in our land, the signs are there. And so for those people who laugh, they can't even see the signs around them with what's going on in our nation. And I believe that if we do what Daniel did, and we keep praying for our nation, and it's not even just praying, and it's not even just humbling ourselves, but it's turning from our wicked ways. And so the Lord hears from a heart that is towards him, that is turned also from wickedness. Then he will come and he will heal our land. And so I'm crying out for my nation, and I know you are crying out for your nations also. So we're going to go in Daniel 9:17. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant. And I'm going to say, you can say, and to, of course, it was to his supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. And I pray that for the desolation that's going on in America. Oh, my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. And, Lord, I just ask you that for my nation. I ask for your great compassion on America, O Lord. O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, listen, and take action, O God, for your own sake. O my God, do not delay. And he says here, because your city and your people are called by your name. And there are, America was built on the foundations of Judeo-Christianity. And I say thank you, Lord. Lord, hear, forgive, Lord. Listen and take action, O God, because this nation and our cities, Lord, that you called forth this nation and you birthed this nation of the United States on your precepts, on your commandments, Lord. Now, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain of my God, while I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. I mean, Daniel was so in sackcloth and ashes, repenting for his nation. And Lord, thank you that you have raised up people to do that in each of our lands. And isn't that amazing how the Lord sent Gabriel, because Daniel was crying out for instruction. In Daniel 9:22, he gave me instruction and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight with understanding." And I just want to stop and I just want to say, Lord, for those of us who are crying out for our nations, oh God, thank you for coming forth. Thank you, Lord, for giving us instruction. Thank you for giving us insight and understanding. And it says in Daniel 9:23, at the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued. Now, this is where I took my title. And I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. And, you know, God is not a respecter of persons. And if we do what Daniel did, if we humble ourselves and we fast and pray and we cry out and we repent for our nations, he will hear us. And I know there are many that have been doing that. But again, it's not just humbling ourselves and praying. It's turning from our wicked ways. And this is the church. He's speaking to the church first, speaking to us. He says, my people who are called by my name, that they will humble themselves and they will pray and they will turn from their wicked ways. Then I will come and I will heal your land. And so, church, we need to take a look at ourselves. We need to take a look at ourselves and we need to humble ourselves in sackcloth and ashes. And I'm saying that spiritual sackcloth and ashes, and cry out for our land and cry out for the church and cry out for us as the people of God to turn from our ways so that the Lord will hear us. He will hear our prayers. He will heal our land. So when Gabriel comes, he comes to actually tell Daniel about how the Messiah is going to come and how, what the time frame is. And so he says in Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree, restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. And so he goes on to tell him about the Messiah and when he will come and what will happen. No, it's really amazing because when Daniel began to fast and pray, in Daniel 10:12, the angel says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words." And then, of course, he proceeds to tell him about the warfare in the heavenlies. And so in Daniel 10:1, it says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar, and the message was true and one of great conflict, but he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision." And so he talks about that. And he talks about how this vision in Daniel 10, in Daniel, let's go in Daniel 10, 5. "I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body was also like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and his feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words was like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were there with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me. My natural color turned to a deathly pale, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground." Because when human beings encounter heaven, it affects their human, flesh. I mean, this thing had him trembling, because he says, "Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, a man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling." I mean, he was trembling in the presence of heavenly beings. So in the next verse, verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia." And so you see there's a warfare going on in the heavenlies. So as we're doing what we're supposed to be doing on earth, we have to know that there is warfare going on in the heavenlies. "When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face towards the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him, 'Who was standing before me? O my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me and I have retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. And he said, 'Oh, man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous.' Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, 'May my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me.' Then he said, 'Do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince. And so we, as the voice of God on the earth now, according to Psalm 103, we can be in cooperation with heaven by the words of our mouth, which when the word of God comes out of our mouth, the angels will go forth and perform it. And so we have the privilege of doing that. And so think about this. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Now, in this case, the angels of heaven came to lift Daniel up. But we have the privilege now of coming together in one accord and calling heaven to earth. We have that privilege. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. And I always say, ooh, that's you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and me, and whoever agrees with me in prayer. One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight, and on and on. And think about Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, what things soever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And I talk about, you know, the Lord has given us supernatural weapons. For instance, the blood of Jesus. I mean, we talked about that last week in Hebrews 10:19. That's how we enter into the holy place. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. And he's given us supernatural armor in Ephesians 6. And I'm going to start in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Just like the angel came to Daniel and gave him strength, the Lord gives us strength. He gives us the strength of his might. Isn't that awesome? Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand, stand firm. Therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I just can relate this to Daniel because he prepared himself. He prepared himself. He found what he was looking for in the book of Jeremiah. And the Lord came to his aid and sent him the angels. And he'll do the same for us because we can ask the Lord for the angels to come and to do this warring because they're the ones that do the warring in the heavenlies, not us, friends, not us. We can ask Jesus to send the armies of heaven, and they're the ones that do the warfare because our fight is the fight of faith. Did you ever see Daniel calling things down? Because I sure didn't. I've never read that anywhere in the scriptures where they're calling things down, because if you're seated in heavenly places, everything's under your feet. And if you're calling things down to the earth, well, they're going to come and pummel you. And I've actually seen that with people doing warfare that really isn't accordance to the scripture. I mean, yes, in 2 Corinthians 10, where it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That is in people's minds. That's in our own minds. Pulling down strongholds, fortresses, and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's the fortresses in the mind, okay? And we can bring our thoughts and we can stand in the gap for others to bring their thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. That is the only place I've ever seen where people are pulling things down. It's strongholds. It's fortresses in the minds of people. Otherwise, our warfare has to be from heavenly places where everything is under our feet. And where you saw, just like in Daniel, when he sought the Lord and he was looking at Jeremiah and he was humbling himself, the Lord had the angels. He sent them to him. He said, I came for your words, Daniel. The very first day I came for your words, but there was a warfare. And as Daniel continued to humble himself for those 3 weeks and pray and press in, the Lord came through for him. And the warfare in the heavenlies was done by the angelic hosts. And that is the way it is in the Word of God. And so I want to talk about too. I want to talk about, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because Jesus, the great high priest, is in heaven doing intercession for us. And I don't know about you, but I want to enter into the holy place and receive instructions from him, just like David did. Why did David win all of his battles? Because he inquired of the Lord for every single battle. And he did not go into battle unless he heard from the Lord. And he would use the ephod, right? But we don't have to use that, because the Holy Spirit will show us. The Holy Spirit will take us into the holy place. The Holy Spirit will bring us into the throne of God. And so since Jesus died and rose, he has given us the Holy Spirit, who brings us the gifts and the callings of God. And he is the one who can take us in the spirit, just like he did John. He can give us wisdom like Daniel received. For we have such with the Holy Spirit living in us, we have such an advantage. And I so respect the men of God in the Old Testament. They just amaze me. And so let us know this, that we have to every morning just come before the Lord and ask him, is there anybody I need to forgive, Lord? Because we do not want that standing in our way, because that will hinder our prayers. And so in Matthew 18:35, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. So we have to, if we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive our brothers from our hearts. And that's a decision with our will. And then he will bring all of the emotions. You know, we are already seated in heavenly places. So that's where we want to do our intercession from, because everything then is under our feet, because Jesus put it there and we are his body. And so, we read Ephesians 1:17 through 23 as our prayer, but it's like, you know, we can ask him for wisdom, a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. And we can know the hope of his calling, and we can know the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And we can know the greatness of his power towards us who believe. And so when we pray, we want to pray from those heavenly places. And so how did Jesus in his temptation, how did he overcome? He overcame by the "it is written." And that is how we need to do, that's how we need to do it too. And I just want to take you to Matthew 4:4, because it says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That's our bread. Matthew 4:6. "And said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And what does he say? He says, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And so Jesus overcame in that wilderness. He overcame for us the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so we want to be those people. In Psalm 103, it says, "The angels will come for his word. The Lord has established the throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And so as we speak his word, we can call his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. We can forbid, if it's forbidden in heaven, we can forbid it on earth. Of course, that is something we have to grow into. And I know my, where I go to Bible college, we were talking about this yesterday. We were talking about keys of authority. And she was, Dr. Dixon was saying, think about the keys, you know, if a teenager is like, "Hey, are you going on vacation? Let me have the keys to your house." What are you going to say? "No, you're not mature enough yet." And so you have to grow into maturity to have the keys of authority. And so our fight is the fight of faith. And so in 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Look at what Paul said. He said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." You know, we have to remember Jesus finished the work. He sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he raised us up with him in heavenly places. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And it says, "And they did not love their life even when faced with death." And that's Revelation 12:11. You know, how do we enter that holy place? Well, there's some clues in Colossians 3:1 or in Colossians 3. "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." You see, we have been raised up with Christ. It says, keep asking, keep seeking things that are above, where Christ is and where you are. And of course, we're running out of time. So I'm just going to end right here with a song, but also with Ephesians 1:3. Where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has," that is past tense, "he already has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And of course, everything is in Christ Jesus, where he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That's Ephesians 1:20. And raised us up with him. This is a done deal. That's Ephesians 2:6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. That is a done thing. It's a spiritual thing too. And so it's a done thing in the mind of God. We are already sitting there and we are co-heirs, ruling and reigning with him. And so I'm going to have to end there because, of course, I'm running out of time. And so we can call the kingdom to come. And I want to play this amazing song by Audra Lynn. It's called Kingdom Come. And so we're going to keep continuing on this beautiful subject of our privilege in calling heaven to earth. Thank you for joining me.
We be to God the everlasting Father. Glory be unto the Lamb, Prince of Peace. Dwelling in the midst of flaming stones of fire, your name be praised. Glory be to God who reigns over the heavens. Glory to the Lamb who's seated.